to start the meeting.
Go ahead, yes.
Okay, call the meeting to order at 6:03. And
that's too bad.
Is there any public comment with things not on the agenda?
I had a public comment. That's all right.
Go for it.
Okay. I don't want to rehash what was at a town meeting yesterday. I just want to let you know I've actually since had a chance to talk with Nancy Matthews at length about the situation, and she understood my concerns and agreed that it would be a good idea for the finance committee to take this up in an attempt to come up with a transparent way to consistently handle the unassigned fund balance. I mean, they're talking about budget processes and everything anyway, and so she thought, you know, she tossed it out there as an idea for the finance committee to take it up. Because essentially what happened yesterday was confusing to me beyond belief, and I don't know. Essentially, voters were asked to pass an article in favor of an expenditure that wasn't already in your budget, and then the budget wasn't adjusted accordingly. And then they were told that the accounting for it would be in the next year. It would show up. And I don't know, I had so many things written, and really, I was hoping Scott would be here, because a lot of it was in a response to what he'd said. But anyway, I've attended select board meetings and budget meetings and so forth, and it seems to be different each year. This is handled differently, and it's always confusing when I open the town report, and I just would like to open the town report and have it be straightforward. And Nancy felt that that was something that could be addressed, and so I'm just hoping that it can be, so that we can avoid this in the future. You're laughing, you're smiling. The recording can't see that. But
I'm sorry.
Am I preaching to the choir?
No, you're not. Okay. The thing of it is, until the last version of that budget,
you were good.
Which was a compromise.
Yes.
Everything was shown in the budget.
Right.
In order to get the warning out and get the budget ready for the auditors to get it printed, there was a compromise made.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I kind of a fish and cut bait scenario.
To get it done.
And so we fished and cut bait so that we could get the job done.
Yep.
And it was transparent. It was in the budget until version 5. And
then it disappeared.
I'm sorry, but yeah. We tried, and next year we'll try again.
So I don't know how binding our policies that the finance... I'm sorry, can we have a discussion? This is public comment, and I'm taking up the time. I'm just wondering how binding our policies and procedures that some committee of the select board or a finance committee comes up with. I'm just wondering, because this is what seems to happen. I seem to talk with folks on the select board by phone, sitting down, line by line in the budget. Unfortunately, several of them I've talked with over the years aren't at the table anymore. Things change, and I think we're making progress, and the person's like, yep, got it, okay. And then I open the town report, and yeah, some last-minute decision was made to add a line, take out an item, do it, and it completely obscures the bottom line so that you can't tell what's happened from the outside perspective. And so I'm just wondering if there's a way to come up with a consistent, straightforward...
I think
could that be adopted? I know you can't bind the hands of the future select boards, but if the town had some sort of procedure...
The finance committee, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ellen, because you're on it as well.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
And we're working on many policies regarding the budget and many other things, how we handle these things. And all of those, we will, when we get them so we're happy with them, we will present them to the select board.
Right.
And then it's going to be up to them.
Right, right. And that's what I mean.
And so whether they accept those or whether they throw them in the trash, we won't know.
Right.
But that's, and we're getting toward the end, don't you think, Ellen?
Yeah.
And so I think we'll get there. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, and to be perfectly clear, Nancy was not speaking for the committee. All she was doing was saying, this is the sort of thing we should take up to, you know, consider. And
more.
So she would talk to the other committee members. I don't want to make it sound as though she said, yeah, we're going to do this. It wasn't like that at all. She just said, this is a real problem. Yesterday concerned me. we need to try and at least attempt to remedy that in the future. So that's, I just wanted to ask you to check that out and consider it, please. And thank you. Again, I know the budget is a horrible struggle. I did it year after year after year after year. I sat and I know, and compromises happen, but sometimes it's hard to open it without all the back knowledge in your head and see that it doesn't make sense to the rest of us. So that's all. Thank you.
Any other comment? Hi, Andy.
Hi, Emily. So I'm here because she knows what she's talking about. She's always known what she's talking about. I served on the audit board with her starting in 2000. We've both brought this up many times. There actually has been some progress
made.
And I believe that things are at the point now where a second look at this makes it pretty obvious how this particular little problem can get addressed. And it also is a nice entree into the other two things that I think the board needs to look at in terms of managing our cash, really, is what it boils down
cash
to.
On hand.
And I won't get into that tonight, but what I did do is show how this could be done simply. First, I will say that the way that the board has been doing this for quite a few years amounts to what I call a two-part budget, separating out part of the money that the townspeople, it's town's money, voters' money, is basically getting appropriated in two separate articles, the main budget, which was in Article 12, and the unassigned fund balance as of a certain date, and we can talk about that sometime also, in a separate one. And what I did do is I noticed that the budget that passed, the two-part budget, if you put it together and fix this, is the same budget that you should have presented, and you could have actually left out Article 11 and gotten everything done that you needed to and addressed all of the concerns that I've heard better than doing it this way. I know what happened when you finally just did it to get it done, and you know that I supported that. You guys had a deadline.
Yeah.
It's too bad that Scott is not here, because this all came about at a time when the board was looking for a way to deal with money that they had not been keeping track of. And the idea of doing it this way was promoted by Scott, and I understand why the other people on the board bought into it. It sounded good. It didn't make sense to me at the time, and I said so, and I didn't get very far. Scott is the only select board member that was around then that is still around, which is why it's really too bad he's not here tonight. I wrote an email that I have not yet sent, and I will send it to you guys. It's called "A Two-Part Budget Is Not Working Out," and maybe I'll read it now, or maybe I'll just send it to you. What I attached to it was the slightly revised budget that I did that has the $90,000 in there in the right place, so you're putting $390,000 in the paving reserve, and you carry the numbers through, and you don't change taxes, which is what you didn't want to do, and lo and behold, you see the 176 on the bottom that you've reduced the fund balance by, so you didn't have to raise taxes. So that is the exact, that's what actually got passed, and this is how the auditors will have to show what got passed. They'll have to combine the two-part budget into a one-part budget, and the reason I'm talking about it now is it's fresh in everybody's head for about 72 hours after town meeting. And then those of us who have been thinking about this for a while either decide to keep working on it or just go home and find something else to do. So what I think I will do, I'll send you all this email and anybody else that I think might be interested. I can't put it on the listserv with the attachments, but I'm going to read the two things that I suggested could be done, which is what you could have said in the budget narrative had you done it this way, and I'm going to read a slightly revised Article 12, which is what I think you should have put in. So Article 12, shall the voters approve a combined budget of $1,664,871, which is the budget that was in here plus $90,000, for general purposes, 405 for highway purposes, 405 for general purposes, that didn't change. For highway purposes, add the 90,000, I'm not sure I can read this, 1,100,000, and I don't have my glasses, but it's the figure that was in there. Thank you. Actually, I've got glasses in my pocket, but this is handy. So instead of 1,999,800, it says 1,189,800 to the Abbott Memorial Library and Cemetery Commission. That doesn't change. Social Services, that doesn't change. Of which 922,493 will be raised by current year taxes. That doesn't change. Comma, $227,340 will come from cash on hand, parentheses, $176,381 from the general fund, and $50,959 from the highway fund, and parentheses, comma, and $515,038 from other sources, parentheses, $322,537 into the general fund, $192,500 into the highway fund. Those are numbers you already had. So you spell it all out here, all the money that's coming in, all the money that's going out, the fact that you're actually bringing in $176,000 less in the general fund than you're sending out, so you're not raising it in taxes, and the same thing is happening in the highway fund, $50,000+. And what you could have said in the budget narrative, and I'm done, because my 2 minutes is up, is we finished FY19 with $176,381 more than we planned, and we saw no need to raise those funds a second time. You will therefore see that amount on lines 271 and 275 as a reduction in the general fund balance, since we will be using cash on hand instead of raising that amount in taxes a second time. Seems to me that between writing the article more comprehensively, explaining it in the budget narrative, and making the numbers that Article 12 is actually talking about, the same ones that you really plan on doing all in one place, gives the voters every opportunity to do whatever they want. If they want to leave the 176 in the general fund, because we actually should have more than zero in our general fund, which is what we're projecting at the end of FY21, we've got time to talk about that. They can say we want to leave $100,000 in there, and then taxes go up $100,000. Completely transparent, and everything is laid out ahead of time. You don't really need the finance committee to do that. We can talk about this in the next month or two. That would be a good time to talk about it. Well, and at year end, when we see what we actually do have, are we going to finish the year with 176,381?
Yeah, that's the way we had it in the budget to begin with.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, so that's why I said we're preaching to the choir, Andy.
I'm going on the record.
The reason why it was changed to that way is because of somebody that's not here.
That's why I'm saying.
And that's why I came to public comment tonight.
My opinion, it was done to make him happy so that we could all be on the same page and agree to the budget.
Well,
it was recommended that we do it that way by VLCT, but
it's not. Which way? That's what.
This way.
Oh, this way.
That's not how it's been represented.
Well,
meanwhile,
right?
We're not having this conversation tonight. It's not.
Stock felt that it was necessary to have it as a separate article because he didn't feel that if it was in the general budget that people could then it was not giving them the choice as to what to do with the money.
Oh,
but
geez.
As we all know, we can amend that from the floor. And it's not an issue, but the only way that we could all be on the same page to make the numbers work was to do it the way that we have it.
May I suggest?
And we will try next year again.
I'm not saying it's right, but that's what happened.
I appreciate knowing that.
Then in response, what I would say is consensus is nice, but I can count, and sometimes you just have to have a vote. I count four people here that are, as I indicate in my email, maybe ready to revisit this issue.
Oh, it will be revisited.
Why will it take any longer than the 10 minutes we just took?
Well, the only just to jump in based on a conversation I had with Nancy, is that there is, from conversations with Chad Hewitt and VLCT, I mean, there are distinct ways you could do this. There are ways that I would rather do it. I'd rather do it through the budget and see everything at once. You could, if you didn't include it in the budget at all, have a standalone article. You'd have to fully explain what... You have to fully explain in your budget narrative what's going on, because otherwise people may not, you know, make the jump from the general fund to the... But one way or the other, not this half in, half out. I mean, having the tax offset in your budget, and I'm just, this is the total cynic, and I know this isn't the case. Everyone has the best intention of the town in mind when they serve. Otherwise, why do it? But the cynic says, you included the tax offset, the $86,000, in the budget, looking really good, making it look good. Yeah, it didn't include the $90,000 expenditure, which would have jacked up the budget by not, what do we say, 14%, 21%. That's not as attractive. So I'm not
saying... Or alternatively, the taxes, if they were all reported in the budget, the taxes to be raised would have been up 13% and not
3%. 3%.
Because so, in order to take the 176 right. back, you would have had to present a budget with a zero change.
It
taxes
wasn't
would
as
have
attractive.
Had to be higher, and then the town would have voted to drop it the entire 176.
It wasn't as attractive. So the cynic in me could see that, but it just reflects how this either needs to be handled one way or the other. And that, I think, is what Nancy was sort of getting to with the finance committee suggestion, is to have sort of a consensus and a policy, perhaps.
We'll take all these under advisement.
Yeah.
We're way past 2 minutes.
Yes.
I can only say that there was a very valid attempt to depict the budget in the way that you described, and we were not successful. We thought that would be simpler and much more transparent, and we didn't win. And that being said, are there any other public comments?
Not associated
with
the agenda? Thank you.
No?
So
yes.
Scott's not here, and I'm somewhat new to how these things operate, but I was interested in the alternate EC Fiber position with Alan Graham. And
okay.
So I'm not sure if that comes up later in the agenda items.
I don't know how many of these, to be quite honest, I don't know how many of these appointments we will get to, but if you'd give me your name.
Kristen Estee, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, and then Estee is E-S-T-Y.
And I bet your name now. Send me an email.
Okay.
And it's at Emily Grube at Concord BTUS. And that way I'll have your email address.
Great.
And I will write back to you later tonight or in the morning as to whether we got to all of these or not. And we appreciate the fact that you're interested.
Yeah, I'm actually an alternate as well, Beth Rhodes.
Yes.
Oh. So thank you. Yeah, and I can also let Alan know that you're interested because we've been looking. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, when I was reading
or maybe
that,
you've talked with him already.
No, I just talked with Scott, and I've been talking to Ben Brickner about ways to volunteer.
Great.
That was a particular area of interest for me. So
great.
So that's great. So we may not get there. I'm sure we won't get everything done, but we'll put your name in the queue, and I'll let you know.
Awesome. And if you're interested, you can still attend the meeting and everything out, you know, the next governing board meeting, which is the second Tuesday of every month.
Great.
Over at the law school. So we can get that information.
Yeah. Excellent.
Well.
Okay. Excellent. Because I just really want to learn a lot right now.
Do you know
that's
any accounting?
Just a little bit.
Oh, no. Don't admit that.
Oh, no.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, no.
Okay. So we've got review of agenda. And there are several things that we have to do here. One thing that I would like to do is, because I'm the chairman, but I think it's important to, at least before we do the approval of the minutes and all of that, I just will leave those to the end. We should elect the chair, vice chair, and clerk. I have the following things that have to be added. And one of those is a run-amok 50K race. We have to decide what we're going to do with artistry, purple crayon, and the letter that we've received, if anything. And then we have to make a decision regarding a Pomfret BTUS email account and what we should do about that. And the fourth thing is road posting. So the road posting would come up under Jimmy and the road foreman report. The rest of those could come anytime. Does anybody have any objection to those items being switched around a bit and added?
We might want to consider moving the vacation policy discussion.
I have that with the road foreman report as well. Anybody have any objections? I need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Changing approved. Okay, so election of a chair. I'm willing to serve another year if you want me to. But you ought to make a motion to that effect if that's what you want.
And so moved.
Need a second?
Second.
Okay, Chuck, first. Are you taking notes, John?
No, should I be?
No, I don't. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, I guess I'm chair. Vice chair, do I see any volunteers?
I did it before, I'll do it again.
So moved.
Second.
Just a minute. Steve, second. John. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And clerk. Because Cindy has been here, last year we did not have a clerk. Cindy's been doing a good job, and as far as I know, except for this, for being ill, we can let that slide for a while if you want, or we can decide that at a later date. I just didn't want to carry on the meeting as chair if I wasn't really chair. It seemed like that was appropriate. So, what do you want to do with that at the moment?
Then without would have been fine. I mean, so.
Shall we table it for the moment? Probably ought to have a motion to that effect.
So moved.
John? I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we're not going to do anything more on that now. I think we can leave the minutes and the warrants. There's only one warrant until later. So we're down to items for discussion and vote. Road foreman report.
I had Marilyn from Trafalgar Square call me today.
Yeah.
And said that, I guess in years past, you guys send them permission letters to be able to run the trailers for deliveries. So
I've never heard that we've done that.
No. So
what did we send
them? A permission slip saying that it was okay for them to still take deliveries even though the roads are posted.
I think we, with businesses that are in town, I mean, I do think we have to make some kind of exceptions for them, because otherwise we've basically got 2 months where these people can't do business.
I can give her a call. It says here that, and we haven't decided, I guess, whether I'm still the sort of road commissioner. It says that I have to give the permission, but I would defer that to you on people like logging people that want to get stuff out when the ground is frozen. I can call her and or...
She said the years past, I think someone's either emailed
Helen?
Her about her.
So my understanding from this today was that Becky has a form letter that she has sent to Trafalgar Square in the past, but she only sends it once the road foreman has said, yes, it'll be okay for those trucks to come into her yard down there. Beyond that, I don't know, but it's something that I think Becky has
done. So Becky has done. So if I talk to Becky on Friday, that we can get that done? Okay. So Becky, road posting, Trafalgar.
The other thing with the road posting is we may need to make sure we send a list of this to the state, because if it's not on the state website, there's nothing that we can do about it.
Okay. While we're talking posting, this is what I came up with. Jimmy has put out signs on all the dirt roads. You didn't put them on the main road, right?
Yeah, blacktop's posted too.
Blacktop too. Posting of all Class 2 and Class 3 town highways, pursuant to 19 VSA 1110, Conference Select Board posted all Class 2 and Class 3 town highways effective March 4, 2020 through May 15, 2020. No vehicles having a weight, including vehicle and load, in excess of the weight specified below, shall operate on any part of Class 2 or Class 3 town highways which are posted except by permission of the Pomfret Road Commissioner. Two-axle, 15,000. Three-axle, 18,000. Tractor-trailer units, 20,000. And that's dated 3/4/20. We have to approve this as a board, and then I can sign it. And do these have to be posted on all three places in town?
Hazel used to do it all.
Anyway, I'll find out whether it's got to be posted.
Should we put slash road foreman slash road commissioner so that if you're just saying that Jimmy's handling it, that kind of covers us?
I can change the thing and then get it signed as long as I can sign it as Pomfret Select Board as a chair. No, well, it's fine. I can do this. I have this set up to do it as a Pomfret Select Board as the chair. So I can go and rework this document and print it at home. I don't have the capability of printing it here. Is that okay?
Yep.
So road commissioner slash road foreman.
And I would think, like the list of roads and all that, you'd be able to go right back. I mean, I would go back, and the only thing you might have to add is Stage Road, Pomfret Road now, because however you filled it out last year, the list of roads that went to the state, is that what you said?
Yeah, there's a state website, so you can get on and check the roads. Most towns don't actually get the information to the state. They just hang up the signs.
So. They're not legally bound if you don't do that anyway.
What's that?
They're not legally bound anyway if you don't do that.
Right.
So I've got to get on that VTrans website then. Okay, let me write that here too. If I can't get that done tomorrow, John, I'll call you and you can help me out with it.
Sure.
I think I can get there. So I need a motion to approve the posting of these Class 2 and 3 roads in Pomfret.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
All right.
Any opposed? Okay, we've got that done. Now, do you want to do your report, or don't you dare? anything other than mud season and the roads are sloppy? when I talk to Trafalgar, I will explain to them that road is going to be closed.
Oh yeah.
This summer for no through traffic, and their truckers will have to take an alternate path.
I would think right about now they'd be taking an alternate path anyway.
I would think so, but anyway, what else have you got for us? Anything?
The only other thing that has come up, and it's been around and around a little bit down there, but we've been using the company Fastenal, getting like all the hydraulic fittings and stuff and the hose from. Well, their hose company has now said that they're not going to be making that hose anymore, not making the U fittings anymore, so they're going to Z fittings. And so we've been back and forth on it. And this U, I guess the U fittings, they're not going to be making anymore, so them are headed out to more to be obsolete. And then the hose that we're using too, so that means we're going to have to buy another die. So he came up and gave me a price. And it's a rough, right around $5,000 for us to get set up into the Z fittings. And we've got about $8,500 worth of stock that's sitting on the shelf that we're scrounging around to get hose right now to be able to use them fitting in there and not willing to do anything for us for the $8,500. So we're going to be out essentially $8,500 and almost $5,000. To get reset back up into something else. So I haven't called Lawson, and that guy's gonna come up and they're gonna meet with me and a different outfit and see if I can strike something up different with them and see where it goes from there.
Well, the other
I think some of the neighboring towns are actually using them.
Yeah,
I've got that guy and he seems very right on top of things. And
so he said he would be in the area. I think he said maybe the end of this week. He'll just call me and let me know when someone's by, and I'll talk with him. because it's been confusing. Like today I had a call and I went because they credit the account, like you credit if you bring something wrong or whatever, they credit the account. Well, today, like I had another item, I pulled it up and said, you haven't even credited this way. It needs to show on my end where that's credited. Yeah, you can send Ellen the bill. She gets her monthly statement and it shows in there, but I don't see where it's been applied down here to anything. And it should show that. Like, I mean, he brought a bunch of other stuff knowing that he was coming to pick up her return. So the other stuff that he brought in today, why don't you do it that way? Well, my system don't do that. And I find sometimes that in Ellen's caught it. Like, there'll be a bill, oh yeah, no, let's not pay that, we're going to pay that. So, I'm looking for a different avenue as far as
well, I'm check it out, and we'll talk about it in 2 weeks.
That has come up, and we are going to have to do something different.
There's always Amazon.
eBay?
No, eBay, Amazon. Well, that's where you buy your stuff all the time, right?
Amazon, yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's great.
Oh, I know. I buy 90% of my stuff. You know, my house comes from Amazon Prime.
They have it all. If they have it, I'll have it Friday. I said, if they have it, I'll have it Friday.
Friday.
Oh, man.
Anything else other than...
Yeah, no, that was... I mean, that was about... oh, yeah, and then a while ago, I had Urban Oil stop, and they gave me a quote on hooking the diesel fuel tank up to the furnace in the garage. And the reason why is because when they did the state permit years ago, that 275 gallons that lies on inside the building of the heating oil counts onto our permit. And with that being said, that's why there's 5 gallon pails down there and not 55 gallon drums. So with hooking that into that diesel fuel, which is hands down no problem whatsoever at all. Other towns are doing it. Well, I do it my own. I mean, everybody does it. And I talked to them about that. And so we would be able to have 55-gallon drums. And if you wanted used motor oil in there, you could have used motor oil in there. You could have up to 275 more gallons of 55-gallon drums. Whatever you wanted there by discontinuing that barrel. And I think that's but I think the price wasn't on my phone when they didn't bring it with me, but it was like almost $1,600 to have to do that. So if you want to wait and do it afterwards, I can tell them to wait and do it into the new one.
I think we better wait and do it after the end of the fiscal year, if you can stand it.
Yep.
That way you wouldn't be heating either, and you could just get them in there and get them.
Yep.
And maybe you want to kind of keep track of how that barrel is going so you can...
Yeah, well, that's one thing he did say is we decided to do it, get the barrel right down on it. But I was talking to him, and he also said that service and furnaces, this Dave serves many furnaces that burn diesel, straight diesel. And he said they're clean.
There's a lot less sulfur and carbon. Man.
And then he said that, but not only that, but you don't ever have to worry about it gelling up.
So I think that would be something to do after the first of the fiscal year. We'll kind of play it close because we are kind of over a few things.
And then Tim Lovett did stop.
Oh, good.
And walked around and whatnot, but I think he said things were pretty rough shape. Just going to do it here.
Well, I got a price from that other guy. Did John Morgan ever get there?
Yeah.
Have you got a price for him?
I haven't yet, but he did say that when he was down and met with me and Jimmy that he was going away for a week or 10 days or something, and then when he got back, he would get it to us.
Well, maybe we can get the paint part of this thing so that I can tell whoever, so we can get them in their schedule, and then they'll, because otherwise it's getting toward where they'll be booked up for the summer.
I'll give John a call tomorrow.
Well, if he's going away.
He might be back now, but I'm just going to give him a reminder.
Sounds good. Anything else?
And then Henry Green sent me an email, and in his email, they're trying to start this thing up. He's a senior down in the Woodside Community High School. They're trying to start this thing up for Green Up Day to get these schools like in a competition thing and to see who can mainly gather the most trash and do this and do that. So he sent me a thing and didn't know if I was the right person to get in touch with, and I'm not. And who is in charge of Green Up? So I can.
Is it you?
No, it hasn't been. No. Sherman Kent has done it most recently. I'm hoping he'll do that again, but I don't know. Sherman Kent.
I guess I do remember that even.
Yeah, I think he did it most recently. Scott Woodward and Gail Crow before that. And anyway, I think Sherman was the most recent one.
Did he send you an email?
Yep.
Maybe you could forward it to him and say, we think you might be the person. We hope you are.
Yep.
Contact this guy. And
I responded back to Henry. He just said, you know, I'll find out tonight. Maybe I can get some more contact information for him and I'll let you know. So.
Okay.
That's about all I was like, really.
All right, what else you got?
No,
okay, Jimmy brought up earlier, and I put it on down below. He wants to know, or he wants some guidance from the select board as to what we want to do about winter vacations and the policy for them. And the reason is that do we want, in the past, originally, this was a winter you don't go anywhere job. And one of the crew has gone for a couple winters, gone hunting, and that's okay, and he was given permission to do that. But we've got to come out with what we want to do with our winter vacation policy. And the main reason is, or the way I see it, is that we have to give a fair opportunity for all of our crew to go away in the winter, if indeed they want to. And that being said, if they go away on vacation in the summer, you don't have to bring in a sub. You don't have to get that extra whatever. And in the winter, you've got to have somebody on call to take over for it. Because if you had a four-man crew, you could probably say, okay, it would take a little longer, but you could get everything done. But we don't have that. We haven't budgeted for that. And so we need to give Jimmy some guidance, some concrete guidance as to whether we want to say, okay, each of you guys can take a 1 or 2 week vacation or a 10-day vacation in the winter, but you've got to coordinate it with the other guys so that only one guy takes a vacation that winter, and you have to alternate so that everyone has an equal opportunity, or whether we just don't want any vacations, like from, what did you say, 1st of October till?
Well, that's what it used to be.
To the 1st of May?
Yeah.
1st of April?
Yeah.
And, or what we want to do. So this is a discussion item.
I think we should have a provision that allows them something, what that is. I don't know. I mean, an 8-month period of time where you can't go anywhere, it gives you 4 months for the year that you can actually do something is a little ridiculous. So I'm not sure what we want to come up with days, but the way I was thinking of it would be that you're allowed X number of days during that period over an X amount of year period, whether it's a 5-year period, you get 10 days or 15 days. During a 5-year period, whether you use them all at once or not, that was my thought of how we could structure that so that there's a total that we know that they could potentially go away for, and there's the potential that they know that, hey, I have this available to me, so whether I want to go away for my family with my family for 2 weeks somewhere in the middle of January, and now I've done that, now I've got to wait my turn again. And certainly wouldn't let two people go away at the same time. So,
well, this is just it, and it would seem like you would because they do have the opportunity to take vacation time in the summer when it's not so critical. You might say, you know, one of the crew can go on a winter vacation and alternate it so that every 3 years, you know, each one would have an opportunity to go on vacation. That would be fine with me. I think they give away their lives all winter long to plow the stone, do the salt, and everything else. But I don't think it's fair that only one. I think you have to give the equal opportunity to all of them,
yes.
And you have to be fair in that way. Does anybody want to make something like that a motion?
Well, yes, we'd have to come to some kind of a conclusion on the amount of time before.
I mean, 2 weeks is a long time in the winter, too.
But if you're
fortunate this last winter, we had Keith come in and plow for us, but I don't know if he would do that same thing for us if it was over 2 weeks or not.
Well, you could say, for instance, if most people are going to take vacations, they would go like from Saturday till the fall and through the following Sunday, so that makes it a 10-day vacation. If it's a 2-week vacation, they're going to take 14 days. We could do that.
I just have a question. I know in the past there's been discussion of trying to add a fourth person on a part-time basis or something like that. Is that something that you're also, are you still considering that, or is that out of the question?
I don't happen to have the budget. Well, yeah, I do. It is something that we have considered. We were going to run this first year. As I recall, the budget numbers, that is not going to happen this year. Because there is not enough money in the 2021 budget to hire a fourth man. And at least my guess is that, and you spoke to this issue to me a week ago, that we were already a month ahead on labor expenses. So we will probably overspend that line item as well. We did not backfill that enough to have a fourth man. So that might be a year down the road. That being said, I mean, we can always fool around with these numbers a little bit.
If this isn't my bailiwick at all, but
yes, but you do the numbers every day.
I always have an opinion, and so I think the thing that I struggle with is that I look at these guys who are doing such a great job for us with the road, and for the six or seven months that there's winter, they can't go home and have a beer because they might get called in to do some plowing. All year long, they could get called in at any time because the trees come down on the road and they have to remove it. And yet, I look around, and when I take my car in to be worked on, even though I know it's not the hourly wage the mechanics are being paid, the mechanics are getting almost $100 an hour to do work on a simple car that I have. And these guys are taking care of multiple kinds of vehicles, doing the repairs on them, and yet the wages that we're paying them are not anything approximating what my mechanic is getting, and I don't think he's, you know, I'm not paying anybody special. And so I find it somewhat troubling when we hear that sometimes it's hard to fill the positions when they are vacant. I guess I would like to see, and I know that this doesn't necessarily happen in the time frame for what you're discussing right now, I would like to see the town look at an overall overhaul of how the road crew is treated and compensated, and whether with regard to vacations and things of that nature, as well as hourly wages, to recognize what they sacrifice to take care of the town. And I guess I don't really feel that what happens right now is adequate for their dedication.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, they give away their lives all winter long. And I don't think it's unreasonable that they should expect to be able to go away in the winter. But I'm not sure that you shouldn't give the equal opportunity to everybody.
Okay.
And, you know, they can't all go away in the winter. And so I think the goal might be to get a fourth man on the crew, and then it wouldn't be as much of an issue. But I do think all the crew members deserve an equal opportunity to take advantage of this.
Jimmy and Art, seeing that you both work on the crew, what I've been thinking of was 15 days in a 5-year period. Do you guys think that that's a fair amount? That way it gives you, if you want to take 3 days and go somewhere, and I think we would have to have something that it's not, hey, I'm going to be gone for a week in a week from now. Like, you can get away with that in the middle of June. You know, there's got to be something in there in the provision that it needs to be planned out ahead of time, you know, whether
so
it's a month or 6 weeks or whatever it is, so that we can prepare to have somebody in there. But
so let me understand, to clarify. So you would say in a 5-year period, each of